backside rebound rolls off to Grace Grady. Bergman the other way. She fires a three from the left wing. Nothing but net for Adriana Bergman from the left side. She's got nine, and Lakeside leads it by 12, 23-11. 3:29 to play third quarter. Timeout Hill City.
Lakeside girls keep their season alive last night, as does Osborne. We'll go through all the scores here in a moment. Welcome to the Sports Ticket. Coming up, we'll hear from Bruce Weber, head coach of the Kansas State Wildcats. Plus, we'll hear from Tim Tebow, and you need to listen very close and pay attention when we play the comment from Tim Tebow today. It's really good stuff. But Lakeside girls do win last night. And a recap of regional basketball day one from last night. Here's Dusty.
Yes, the Lady Knights pick up the 34-29 victory in the end. You heard the three from Bergman there. She led the way with 11 points for Lakeside, a couple three-pointers there. She was our athlete of the game last night in that one. Our block of the game from H&R Block went to Grace Grady, and the connection of the game from Cunningham Telephone and Cable went to Janica Pierce. Lakeside with that victory improved to 11-9, but more importantly, gets them into the semifinals, the 1A regional tournament there at Hill City. And that's coming up here on Thursday. So Hill City with the loss dropped to 2-16 here this evening, or last night, I should say, and that finished their season. Lakeside's opponent at the semifinals coming up on Thursday will be Osborne, as Osborne won 43-29 over Logan last night, led by Ryan Brown with 13 points there. Osborne with the win. And again, Lakeside and Osborne will play Thursday in the semifinals. The other semifinal will have Thunder Ridge against Stockton, and Stockton beat Palka last night 65-17. 1A girls regional at Solomon. First round games always at the higher seed. So Solomon winning over Pike Valley at home 64-42 last night. Southern Cloud gets a 64-35 win over Rock Hills. And Lincoln winning over Tescott 34-29. So Southern Cloud will face Lincoln in the semis on Thursday in Solomon. And St. John's Tipton will take on the host school Solomon as well. And at the Sylvan Lucas regional, it was Sylvan Lucas winning 44-36 over La Crosse in the first round. They'll move on to Thursday's semifinals against Otis Bison. And then the Sylvan Lucas boys also won the only boys regional game from our area last night, with Sylvan Lucas beating Natoma 51-26. So that's a look at what we have as far as that's concerned with day one of the regional tournament. Now we go into day two of regionals today. And I actually just got a text that says that as of now, Lakeside has moved up their game to 6 o'clock here this evening with Palco in the 1A boys regional that we plan on having here this evening on Z96.3. We'll go through all that, and if anything else changes on that, we'll let you know. But 6 o'clock as of now is the start time for Palco and Lakeside on Z96.3. So we'll have pregame about 5:50 here this evening with that regional matchup. Also in the Hill City regional this evening, Hill City taking on Stockton. The time 7 o'clock right now. Thunder Ridge at Logan as well here this evening. The Thunder Ridge Longhorns are the 5 seed there in that regional tournament. So they're at Logan, as I mentioned. And then in the boys Solomon regional, I have found out just moments ago before I got in here that Southern Cloud Tescott will be at 4 o'clock this afternoon in Glasgow instead of 7. So the 2 seed Southern Cloud hosting Tescott at 4. Rock Hills Lincoln right now at 7 as of now. And then 4-5 game Pike Valley is hosting Solomon in Cortland at 7 o'clock tonight. St. John's Tipton, the number 1 seed in that regional. So that's an update on everything as far as regionals are concerned. And then also on Katy Country 94 tonight, we've got a regular season matchup with Smith Center at Beloit as of now, with pregame at 5:45 for the girls, and tip off at 6, boys to follow, and also online video streamed at ncksports.com here this evening. So that catches you up on everything that's going on in the high school basketball world in our area. Again, anytime or anything that we get as far as time changes, we'll hope to let you know as soon as we can on any of that for regionals and any of the games on our stations as well here this evening. So that's what we have right now.
Wrestling locker room chats today as well.
Yes, today we'll talk to the head coaches of Beloit, Osborne, Smith Center, and Lincoln, as we'll have our preview of recap of regionals and preview of state coming up this weekend for all those wrestlers that qualified. So stay tuned for that approximately 5:10 this evening on Katy Country 94, and also online at katycountry94.com. If any game times change, we'll let you know if we'll just have to have those online or anything like that. But as of now, 5:10 on Katy Country 94.
State wrestling reports we'll have on Friday and Saturday as well, as we have many area wrestlers that qualify for 3-2-1A state. And Hayes will give you updates throughout the day on Friday and Saturday, and probably have to do some of that throughout our basketball coverage as well, depending on what Mother Nature throws at us. Speaking of Mother Nature, this is an amazing graphic. This was I saw on Twitter from Brad Anderson. He's a weatherman up in Lincoln, Nebraska. 2 years ago, he says, we had a very different February. He's got the graphic, February 10th through the 22nd, all right? 2017 versus 2019 February. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay. In 2017, here were the temperatures from February 10th through the 22nd. These are high temperatures.
Uh-huh.
71, 61, 51, 53, 54, 56, 72, 74, 68, 73 on February 19th, 2 years ago. 67, 76, 76. 2 years later this year, 32, 28, 34, 43, 35, 15, 20, 24, 23, 22, 28, 29, 34. 50-degree difference across the board.
Take me
from
back
2 years
ago. 2017.
Yes, I want to go back in the time travel machine, and I want to go back to 2017. Wow, that is an amazing change. So when you're sitting here and you're talking about, and I hear the fun jokes, well, it's global. So what happened to global warming? Well, we had it in 2017, and then now we've got global colding, if it's such a thing. I don't know.
I don't think people understand the concept of global warming. Just look at temperatures.
No, because there's always still going to be cold weather months, okay? Just because there's one day it's cold doesn't mean global warming is a complete farce, all right? Just like when it's 115 degrees doesn't mean global warming is worse than it's ever been, okay? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but, I mean, it's just overreaction every which way, whether you're on the side of that or not. But it is interesting, 2 years ago, how the weather was, and now what we're faced with 2 years later. So I guess there's hope. Maybe 2021 we'll have a warm February. I do not know. Okay, K-State with a big win last night over West Virginia. I never felt like K-State was going to lose this game. I didn't think they were going to lose going into the game. I didn't think they were going to lose when they were down in the first half. I didn't think they were going to lose when they were up two at halftime. I didn't think they were going to lose when they blew a seven-point lead in a span of a minute because their bench was not very good. West Virginia can't score. They just can't score. And, you know, I feel sorry for Bob Huggins and his team because he's had guys he had to dismiss, a guy that won't play because he's worried about his NBA status. And he's got two guys, like I said, let go. He's got another guy that was really good against Kansas early in the year in a victory that is out with an injury right now in Bolden. He doesn't, I mean, imagine taking away Dean Wade, Cartier Jada, Kamau Stokes, and Barry Brown. Which, guess what, you might see most of that next year. But imagine taking that away from Bruce Weber right now. Do you think K-State would be any good?
No.
Okay, now, imagine taking away from Kansas. Take away Dedrick Lawson, Devon Dotson, Quentin Grimes, which that might be a good thing for some, and Abaji. Take away those four guys. You think Kansas is going to be any good?
No.
Probably not. So, Bob Huggins, and granted, West Virginia can't recruit quite as well as maybe Kansas can. We know that. But this is one of the worst seasons.
KU would win more games. But, yeah. I mean, if you're based not on taking them away with the losses they already have,
yeah.
It'd be ridiculous.
They'd be much worse. They might not be 10-15, but they'd probably be like 13-12. They'd be having a horrible year. So when you sit here and you kind of make fun of West Virginia, you got to understand the situation they're in. I mean, they lost. I got hit hard by graduation. Some recruits haven't panned out. You had to dismiss a couple guys from the team. Another guy that, you know, does he really have a really bad knee or not? Doesn't sound like it, according to people.
Yeah.
Kanati didn't want to really give it a go and get hurt. And then you got a guard or a point guard that's hurt. I mean, they got guys that shouldn't even be playing D1 basketball in regards to starting, probably. I mean, they got the Culver kid. He's really good. They don't have any outside shooting whatsoever. And K-State still was 42-42 midway through the second half. But they turned it up, they got it done, and experience helps, according to Coach Bruce Weber.
You do that with experience. You've got guys that have been through it, they're poised, they stay focused, disciplined on defense. You only have a chance if you guard on the road. And, you know, we had a seven-point lead, I think, and we Dean needed to come out. Barry got his third. We had so many guys in foul trouble, and, you know, they went on a quick run. And these guys went out, the dunk. Dean hit Xavier for the three, and see, it went to five, and then that went to 14. And I think with West Virginia, if you watch them, and there's always a breaking point where somebody just kind of takes it over. I was surprised. All of a sudden, I look at the scoreboard, and boom, you know, we're up 14 and 16. And, you know, these guys, a lot of credit. Barry's an unbelievable leader. You know, just been amazing. And I got to give Cam and Dean a lot of credit for playing. I didn't know if they would play as of today. And, you know, they both played and did a great job.
Barry Brown was fantastic last night. I thought he was sensational. 21 points, 7 of 14, 6 of 6 from the line, 4 assists, 4 steals, and he played 39 of the 40 minutes. Xavier Sneed, 19 points, 6 of 11 from the floor, 5 of 8 from 3. I mean, he does that. K-State's a different offensive team. He also had 7 rebounds. Dean Wade, many people didn't think he'd play last night. He played more minutes than they wanted him to, I'm sure. 32 minutes, I think he played, 10 points, 6 rebounds, and didn't seem to be, you know, hobbling or anything like that, which is great news for K-State fans. So, thus, once again, the doom and gloom is a little over-exaggerated. And then Kansas State, you know, it's 42-42. They blow it open, 19-2 run. And it's K-State's 20th win of the season. That's the fifth time in 7 years Bruce Weber's won 20 games at K-State. And it's the fourth time under Weber that they have won at least 10 games in the Big 12. And the Wildcats have won 10 of the last 11 Big 12 games, six in a row on the road in league play for the first time since 2010. And they swept a season series against West Virginia, the first time in 6 years that they've swept the Mountaineers. Of course, they probably shouldn't have won the first one, but they found a way to get it done. But that does come back to, I say, defense, although West Virginia isn't great offensively. Well, K-State really hunkered down when it was 42-42. Barrett Brown came back in after getting his third foul, sat for a short spell, about 50 seconds. Yeah. Him and Wade come back in, and that goes to show you that they can't afford another injury because they don't have a lot on the bench. The bigs for K-State are just not good. I mean, Stockard doesn't provide anything. He just except fouls and a body to screen. Trice, I mean, for crying out loud, they went to Shad before Trice last night. That tells you all you need to know about what they think about Trice right now. And then McCall Maywean, how do you miss three dunks? I mean, that was just laughable and comical. Like, I'm going to just say, this is just me thinking out loud. If I can jump high enough to dunk the ball, and I've blown two dunks, and the second one was super easy, wouldn't it just be smart to, like, just drop it in?
Drop it in.
Just
don't throw
drop it,
down,
in
yeah.
instead of trying to throw
Everybody's
it down.
Everybody's like, lay it off the glass. I'm like, no, you don't just, even have to do that. If you're that high, all you got to do is just drop it.
It in there. That's all you got to do. Don't even grab the rim. Listen, Bruce Weber is very, very calm and collected, and I knew he didn't want to shatter McCall Ween's confidence. And he could afford to do it at West Virginia.
Yeah.
But McCall Maywean, if he does that at Kansas, do you think Bruce Weber handles that the same way?
Oh, no.
Heck no.
I don't think anybody handles it the same way.
Most people wouldn't have handled the way Bruce Weber did last night. And I give Bruce Weber credit. And then Maywean came in, got a block shot or two, a loose ball, and a rebound. But come on, man. You cannot. I've never seen guys have yips with a dunk. I've seen yips golfing. I've seen yips like pitching. You can't hit the strike zone. I've seen yips at the free throw line. I've never seen a guy have the yips dunking the basketball. I was flabbergasted. I'm like, seriously? Like, when you miss the first one, I'm like, okay, it happens. Second one, I'm like, oh, my Lord. The third one, I'm like, get him out of the game.
Yeah.
Or don't pass him the ball, even if he's wide open. Yeah. Which, give Barry Brown credit, he kept throwing him the ball. But Brown on the last one was like, are you serious, dude? I've never seen that in my life at college basketball. D1 level, have you?
Not like that.
That was embarrassing.
Yeah, you see one. Like, oh, you know, the guy goes up there and he kind of slips out of his hands and hits the back of the rim or something, pops way up in the air. But you don't see him do it consistently. You don't see a guy less than 50% from dunking the ball.
No, you don't.
Just, what was he, 2 for 5 probably last? He had one in the first half that he threw down pretty good and then one in the second half. I think he was 2 for 5.
I've seen a guy miss two dunks in a game. I've seen him miss one early in the game, one late in the game, but in between he probably had a couple dunks. I've never seen a guy miss three consecutive dunks in a basketball game, and two of those were completely uncontested.
Yeah.
Completely uncontested. Unbelievable. But despite all that, K-State still wins. So I guess get it out of the system at West Virginia, because when you go to Lawrence, you better not miss three dunks.
Yeah.
You won't get a chance to miss a third dunk if you miss two. K-State out 10-3 in the Big 12. Huge road win. They're 6-1 on the road in Big 12 play, and that can win you a conference title every single year, no matter what the conference is. Texas Tech, KU are both 9-4, and KU's at Texas Tech this Saturday. Both those teams have had the whole week off, which is interesting. That'll be this Saturday in Lubbock, and that'll be 6:30 pregame. We may or may not have that on the air on Saturday because we could have a lot of regional basketball to cover. So we shall see what we do with that. Of course, it's on TV on ESPN, and you can get it online and all that. I mean, I'd like to have you listen on the radio, but at the same time, we got other things that take priority when we have everything fall at the same time. But we'll see what Mother Nature throws at us. But it's a big game, of course. KU at Texas Tech, primetime, 7 o'clock on Saturday night. Iowa State's just a half game back. They're 8-4, and tonight they host Baylor. And, of course, K-State, the 65-51 win over West Virginia last night, just to go and show and tell you why I'm not counting KU with a win at Stillwater automatically like everybody else, because KU always struggles at Stillwater. Oklahoma State beat TCU in Stillwater last night, 68-61, to get a little bit of confidence. Who knows what might happen? It, you know, it's not a best 4 out of 7 series in college basketball. It's a one-night type of thing, 40 minutes. And, you know, one team gets lucky or gets hot from three, and next thing you know, you can lose to anybody. I mean, we saw KU lose to a winless TCU team on the road so many years ago. We saw Michigan just last week. Michigan lost to a 9-15 Penn State team that had 2 wins in conference. We've seen Kansas lose to West Virginia this year. We saw K-State had 42-42 with the last-place team in the Big 12 with about 8-9 minutes to go last night. So don't just sit here and automatically say, well, you know, KU is going to win at Stillwater. Don't count that one until they actually get in the books. Yeah. Now, I will say K-State, Oklahoma State this Saturday at home in Manhattan. Now, I'm counting that as a win for K-State because it's at home for K-State. Aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like last night. It's like, goodness, I hope. You know, there's no reason it shouldn't be.
Yeah, the road thing's a wild card in it.
Yeah.
And last night, but you won't have that Saturday. 3 o'clock tip on Saturday, as K-State will be hosting Oklahoma State. The new top 25 came out yesterday. I was a little bit surprised, although it's not a big deal. Duke is number one. No shocker there after Tennessee got beat by 17 by Kentucky in Kentucky. Gonzaga's 2, Virginia 3, Kentucky 4, Tennessee 5. Okay, I have a problem with Tennessee going from 1-5 when they won like 18 games in a row. Had to go to Kentucky. Kentucky had just lost at home. I mean, that was a buzzsaw they ran into. And you can say, well, wait, Kentucky should be ranked higher in Tennessee because they beat them. Okay, well, KU beat Tennessee. Why isn't KU ranked in the top four then?
Yeah.
Because Kentucky has 2 more losses than Tennessee. And yet Kentucky's ranked ahead of Tennessee. It's just convenient how the people that vote, well, head-to-head, I got to put Tennessee behind Kentucky. But you don't think about that later on when you got Villanova ahead of Kansas and Kansas beat Villanova?
Yeah.
It just, you know, or K-State, KU. I mean, K-State beat KU, technically. You could argue that one, although we understand,
yeah.
The regular fan might not, that it's based on your body of work. But for crying out loud, Gonzaga beat Duke. Why isn't Gonzaga number one? Gonzaga has 2 losses, Duke has 2 losses, and Duke gets 58 of the 64 votes, and Gonzaga gets 6. Gonzaga beat Duke without Cameron Tilley. Why isn't Gonzaga number one? So if you're going to sit here and put Tennessee behind Kentucky and drop them from 1-5 after lose for the first time in 2.5 months, why isn't Gonzaga ahead of Duke? Because you can't think good enough or long enough as a voter to realize that, oh, yeah, was that this season that Gonzaga beat Duke? Well, that was on a neutral floor. Exactly my point. Kentucky won at home against Tennessee. So if Tennessee beats Kentucky by 17 in Tennessee, is Tennessee automatically be ahead of Kentucky regardless of what those two teams do the rest of the way? I don't know. And you know what it is. It's Duke, Kentucky.
That's what it is.
Same thing with Kansas. No, Kansas has 6 losses. Should they be ranked 12th? Their body of work says probably so, but I could argue that they shouldn't be that high with 6 losses. I definitely can argue that. I can argue LSU, who won at Kentucky by 2 just last week. I could argue LSU 21-4, KU's 20-6. I could argue LSU should be ranked ahead of Kansas. Could say the same thing. So it's just mad respect for your blue bloods, for Duke, Kentucky, and Kansas. Probably all 3 are ranked a little higher than they should be. And Duke, let me tell you, they shouldn't be ranked any lower than 2. Okay, don't get me wrong.
No.
They should be 2 because they lost to Gonzaga and they both have the same record, basically, 2 losses. Duke is ahead of Virginia? Yeah, they beat Virginia twice. I get that. But Kentucky jumping the 4 and Tennessee going from 1-5, I don't quite understand. And then K-State lost. I think the problem for K-State is they lost at home. But losing Iowa State, there's no shame in that. And they dropped 5 spots, which I thought was a little bit too much. In the end of the day, it doesn't really matter because you're going to have it seeded, as we always talk about. KU, the top Big 12 team, ranked in the top 25 at 12. Tech is at 14. And of course, KU at Tech on Saturday, as we mentioned. And then Iowa State at 19, and K-State is at 23. And K-State will stay in the rankings because they're going to beat Oklahoma State Saturday, and they beat West Virginia last night. I'm calling my shot there. I think K-State's going to be okay to not fall out of the top 25 this week, don't you?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, this is really good stuff. And I tagged Dusty with this, and I saw it kind of spread a little bit after that, and that's a good thing. That's one of the good things about social media, when positive things spread, not negative stuff, which we see too much of that in our world today. We talked about Tim Tebow the other day, and I said if I had a daughter, and God knew I couldn't handle girls, so he gave me three boys. But if I had a daughter, and Tim Tebow said, hey, could I ask your daughter? I'd be like, go ahead. You seem like a great guy. If I had to pick one person in the world that's not relation of mine to say this person has to be your role model, it had to be any entertainer or athlete, I would pick Tim Tebow for my kids. Now, Tim Tebow may let me down. You know, 10 years from now, he may have a lapse and have a problem, and I'm not saying he's perfect. He's not. But listen to this. So many people, and I'm telling you it's jealousy, so many people have ripped Tim Tebow because they don't like him, even though they probably never met him, and they're just jealous. And some people, I think, have a problem that he's a very devoted religious guy. There's a problem there. And he just seems like he's perfect, which that annoys some people, okay? So I get it a little bit. But he's never done anything to anybody. And he was terrific in college in football. And then in the NFL, he was just chastised, but yet still won an NFL playoff game as a quarterback in the NFL with the Broncos, although it wasn't a great NFL quarterback. And then he decided, you know what? I'm going to try out baseball. I haven't played since high school, but I'm going to play baseball. And he's done all right in the minor league system with the New York Mets. So he's chasing his dream. He's chasing his dream of playing Major League Baseball. He may or may not play at the big league level. Do not know. Here's Tim Tebow when asked about chasing your dreams. Ladies and gentlemen, any young people out there listening, or even if you're 40, 50, 60 years old, you're never too old to not chase your dreams. Listen to this. I think it's fantastic.
You know, it's really trying to keep perspective and not letting other people define you, because they sure do want to. And I try to encourage young people all the time to not let the world or other people, outside sources, define you, because you're always going to have critics and naysayers and people that are going to tell you that you won't, that you can't, that you shouldn't. Most of those people are the people that didn't, that wouldn't, that couldn't. And don't be defined by outside sources. You go after your dreams. Succeeding or failing is not making it to the bigs, or it's not necessarily fulfilling that. It's having to not live with regret because I didn't try. And, you know, I just feel for all the young people out there that don't go after something because they're so afraid of failing, that you're going to live with a lot more regret than you would have if you tried and you failed. And I'm very passionate about that. And I think the reason that a lot of people don't go after things is because how much you will be criticized, and what if I fall flat on my face? And so fear and doubt and all these things creep in, and I just don't believe that's the healthiest way to live. I don't want to have to live with fear or doubt every day. And, you know, regardless of what everyone here says about me, that doesn't define me. And I'm so grateful that doesn't define me. There's one thing that defines me, and that's what God says about me. And besides that, I get to go live out my dreams and try to help as many people along the way as possible.
That's great stuff. I want to go back to this part right here. This is the best part of it, in my opinion.
Other people, outside sources, define you, because you're always going to have critics and naysayers and people that are going to tell you that you won't, that you can't, that you shouldn't. Most of those people are the people that didn't, that wouldn't, that couldn't.
Love it.
Yeah,
love
that was my favorite part of it, too.
I loved it. Yeah. I loved it. Those people that are criticizing Tim Tebow all these times never could do what he could do, or never tried or couldn't do it. And so, well, I couldn't do it. I'm not going to cheer for this guy to do it.
Yeah.
He's absolutely right. We have too many negative people in the world today. There's no question about it. And you might be sore because you were a good athlete back in high school and you blew out your knee. And so you're going to be mad at the world and hope everybody fails. You know, who knows what might happen.
Yeah.
But wouldn't, or maybe you wish you would have tried harder or did this or did that and you didn't. Or you gave up on your dream and then you're mad when somebody else chases their dream. Shame on you. You know, I thought that was great. Those that say you can't, you won't, are the ones that couldn't and wouldn't. I love it. Love it.
Yeah.
I played that for my oldest son yesterday. I don't think it really sunk in, but it sunk in for me. I thought that was great stuff.
Oh, without question.
Great stuff.
Anytime I see Tim Tebow talking, it usually sinks in for me.
He needs it. Well, yeah. he I think he's got a future as a motivational speaker.
And he does a little bit of that.
He does
already,
a little bit of that, but I think
not,
he could do
not
that
enough time
time
to do it all the time.
Right, but once he's completely done with his sports career,
yeah.
I think he could do that, and he would he'd make a lot of money. And knowing him, he'd probably donate a lot of that because I'm sure he's got enough money saved up through the years. Just an amazing person, so it seems. Even though I haven't met him, but he does come off as genuine and real. And we need more people like that.